time for the In the Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
This is Damian Lemon.
This is Ali Muhammad.
And this is In the Conversation podcast.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. We back. We are back. It is July. 7th month of the year. The God number. Yep. I don't even know where I'm going with that all. Universal mathematics. But, man.
All right.
July. We here. Yeah.
Jimmy Corbin here. Ass nigga.
Wait. Who's that? I know the name. Who's that?
He wanted to know exactly what you just said.
Oh. You said Terry Corbin.
Nah. Billy Corbin.
Okay, yeah.
Corbin. Peace. Like okay, a metaphysical universal study in the tablets of the ancient world as Gaia TV, his own station network of metaphysical shit. That's who he is. But he went to high school with me.
Okay. Before all of that.
He was in school with you. Yeah, man.
That's hilarious.
Who knew? How things was going to play out? Had I known he was going to have... Had answers to the universe, nigga, I would have been closer to him.
Yeah. Was he smart in high school?
I mean, not in that way. You know what I'm saying? You know, nobody was doing all that. Shit, they was barely accepting Ali Muhammad in high school. So if he was, he probably was tucking it in the crack era. You probably was tucking all that.
Hilarious. Yeah, man. Metaphysical was one of them go-to words back in 90s hip-hop for sure. Metaphysical, just it leveled your verse way up.
Keith Murray ass rapping.
Yeah, exactly. Lyrical miracle shit for sure.
Shit don't be making no sense.
Not at all, but it sounds deep. It sound like this motherfucker smart as hell.
Yeah, niggas was trying to be Rakim, but Rakim shit was making sense.
Yeah. Rakim was like a humble genius, you know, not even humble, but, you know, just humble in the ways of how he, you know, he seems content away from the spotlight, even though he just did drop some shit recently.
And back then, you know what I'm saying, you know, he was smart, but then, you know what I'm saying, he was able to carry the street edge and be smart, which made it cool to know some shit. Also, you know what I'm saying, they was kicking that 5% shit, which helped made it be cool to be Ali Muhammad. And then, you know, he had a balance to him. You know what I'm saying? He struck a balance that was not in hip hop at the time between, you know, the party, the sense, and the fashion at the same time.
So yeah. And then what I just found out just recently, it's been flying around the internet for a couple years, he never cursed. I never caught that.
Well, Omahagi, he like, did, though.
Oh, okay. Shit.
He said, fuck around and miss the show. That was like, he did curse.
Wow. So you peeped it way back then. That was
the whole thing. He didn't curse. I was in Miami, you know, so, you know, I was the home of the explicit lyrics. So it was very, you know what I'm saying? You could see it very clearly.
You know what, though, now that I'm thinking about it, a lot of rappers didn't curse back then. I guess it wasn't a thing, because I remember being young. I remember listening to Slick Rick, Indian Girl, like it was one of them Red Fox records. Like, I would have to wait till nobody was close to the speaker. I had to put the headphones on. That shit was explicit for way back then, you know? That was my shit. Yeah, man. Old Indian Girl. Yeah, man. That might be problematic to see. Nah, I don't think so. I don't know. Shout out to Indian women. I don't think so. I'm not sure. I mean, I'm just saying the title is not problematic. Well, when you listen to the song, it gets a little
Americans
crazy.
Or East Indians? What are we talking about here?
See, we're getting into weeds. You got to talk to Rick the Ruler. I can't be responsible for what he put out in the world. I just was listening. Anyway, man, how you doing, man? What's cracking with you?
Man, I'm doing good, man. Shit. I'm here. I'm feeling good.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? I had to get me a little rest in. You know what I'm saying? I had overexerted myself in the past week, so I had to, you know what I'm saying, take some days to just lay it down. So that was cool. I'm back.
Mm-hmm.
I'm back on my 1-2-1-2. So
yeah,
everything feeling good. My in a black father moment, my daughter got a new job.
Wow.
She's stoked by it. You know what I'm saying? She getting a
it's
lot
her
of
first
hours.
Job ever, or well, it's she, a new she, job?
Well, she had a Chick-fil-A job, but
really,
it was a fast food job at the top of the year, but they didn't give her a whole lot of hours. They didn't put on the schedule a lot. And I have my own reasons why I try not to poison or disillusion her view of the world at this very second. But
okay,
you know
okay.
what I'm saying? It's hard. Okay. It's probably hard to get hours. When you know what I'm saying, your mama dropping you off in a Land Rover every day, you know what I'm saying? It's like, and you a teenager working with grown folks, you know what I mean? And they got to make the schedule. So, you know, that shit could be get funny, you know what I'm saying?
I thought you was going racism. You going classism.
Most definitely.
Okay.
Most definitely.
Okay.
You right.
Got it.
You know what I'm saying?
It.
You know how that shit go. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean. I kind of know, somewhat. I don't know how it go, but I could assume how it would go. Yeah, right. I guess I could see that. I could see how that could be
so,
a thing.
You know, and I can't say it's a thing. It's just my own philosophy, my own my own hypothesis. You know what I'm saying? Mm. But she quit it because they weren't giving no hours. Then she picked up another gig. Now they giving her a bunch of hours, so she happy. She got her check. And the first thing she bought was a ticket to go see Megan Thee Stallion tonight. I'm like, oh, Lord. Concerts. Wow. Like, oh shit. Who brought that up? Like when that came up.
who suggested this? What let me look at your algorithm. Oh,
a concert. You know what I'm saying? Man. Knowing damn well I was at the concert at 13 years old, man.
Right.
So you
she
know,
going with her squad, or is
she
it
she going
just,
with one of her friends, you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
She made a big fuss. Because, you know, it was like one of us going to have to go with you. Oh, no.
I don't want y'all to go with me. It's not going to defeat the point. I want to have fun.
You know, that type
right.
shit.
True.
And, you know, so we worked it out. We figured out a way that
so
everybody
you're
going to
do
happy.
A drop off and wait outside type
a
of vibe?
Drop off
or
and a wait inside, you know, up the way, you know, type of vibe. I can't do it because I'm here doing this. But you know what I'm saying?
Oh, it's right now.
It's right now. Yeah.
Okay.
So hopefully it all works out. You know what I'm saying?
And that's what's up.
Y'all always talk about getting sex trafficked. Well, that's a big ass fucking worry, okay?
Wow. That's a big worry. Oh, man, especially at the Megan Thee Stallion show.
Right.
Wait
right.
a minute. Yo, shit. I guess that's a new, not a new age. It's just the term is new. The practice has been forever, but the term is new. Yeah, I guess back in the days, just be called getting snatched.
Yeah, snatched,
or some shit
kidnapped.
Like that. Yeah, kidnapped.
Man in the van.
right, exactly. It's always been the sentiment has been the same, but the title is different. But yeah, well, I ain't think about that. But speaking of that, you know what I did hear about something like. I don't know, just something that I saw on the internet where it was black women, not black women, these black women, they were going on a trip, or this one woman, her, I guess her niece or something was about to go on a trip to Mexico or something like that. So, you know, she was going to wear a wig out there. So, you know, when you're wearing the wig, you might want to braid down your hair. So when they braided, like they cornrowed their hair, in the cornrow, they put a, what do you call them shits? The air tag in the cornrows under the wig. So just in case she got snatched, they could pinpoint her location. So
I saw a video of that, but I didn't have the sound on, so I just scrolled on past. Oh, that's what that was about.
That's what that was about. Yeah,
that's
crazy. I think we saw the same video. Yeah, that's. I mean, it's in what they say, black women in tech. Yeah, I mean, it's you know, it's innovative. Not you know, and it's smart. You know, unless they snatching wigs too. And it's a problem.
they got still get through them cornrows now. I don't know if a kidnapper is gonna be that versed in unbraiding a cornrow.
Right, right. Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah, that's going to take a little while. It's going to take a little while.
They got to sit down and get a rat tooth comb.
Right. I was about to say, a little rat tail comb. Be still. Be still. Why you so tender-headed?
You know what I'm saying? Hit you with
a... Why that shit beeping? Now, why is this braid beeping?
What the fuck is this beep?
Oh, man. That's wild, man. Dog. But yeah, man. So the new gig, is it? I mean, you ain't gotta say the whole situation, but is it more fast food or is it something a little different?
It's a Starbucks scenario.
Okay, okay, yeah. Okay. Back. Now let me ask barista. You this. Oh, okay,
that's fancy too. That's that's another term that wasn't around when I was a kid.
I mean, it was, but probably over in Paris or wherever that shit was. But nobody, you know what I mean? It was coffee. You know what I mean? Coffee wasn't even like, that was for elders. Damn, coffee is, everybody got coffee. Everybody, the kids is fucking with coffee. It goes like caramel and whipped cream. Anyway, this is what I'm curious about. I had this, now this has been Chick-fil-A and Starbucks, two good places. Mm-hmm. Now, as the parents, do you use a good discount or nah? You let that live.
I will. I haven't yet, but I definitely will.
Gotcha.
My oldest son got his first job at Whole Foods. Oh, that shit came in clutch.
I'm sure. What's the discount over there? What they
talking
about?
That shit was like 20%. That shit was clutch. That shit was clutch. Put it in at the register. You know what I'm saying? Put your little Amazon discount number in. That shit was clutch. Mm.
Yeah. Be mad when he want to quit. You're like, well, hold on now. Why do you need to? What's going on? Let's talk about this.
Definitely. Anyway, yeah. We reminisced over that the other day. We was in Whole Foods. We was like, damn, that discount would have been nice. It was like, missed that.
That shit normalize it. Yeah, that shit turn Whole Foods into Associated.
Right. So anyway, the trip part, you know what I'm saying, about this whole shit, right? You know, she got Chick-fil-A, she got Starbucks. But then she applied for a job at Wendy's, right? Now, that's there's a whole different demo, you know what I'm saying? of customers.
That's gonna go to
Wendy's versus Chick-fil-A, you know what I'm saying? That's on true. A daily basis. You know what I'm saying?
That is true.
And
It's no my pleasure.
This niggas, just say what you want, man. Come on now. We ain't got that kind of time. But this particular Wendy's was like right off the expressway truck stop hood spot. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Before she even applied, I was like, nah, that ain't what's happening. You know what I'm saying? Why? Mm-mm. Y'all just acting funny up, everybody ain't like that. Well, you ain't like that either, so you ain't going over there. So she went on and did the interview. But when she got over there, the lady doing the interview, she was like, well, now, you know what kind of place this is, right?
Wow. Like, welcome to the trap.
Like, you know, these ain't the people, you know what I'm saying, that you used to at Chick-fil-A.
That's a good supervisor to give you the heads up to say, listen, I'm warning you. I'm letting you know. Welcome. This is a world star Wendy's here.
You know who can handle that shit. You know what I'm saying? Not the little girl who showed up with her mama to the interview. Okay.
Right. Exactly.
Somebody, you know what I'm saying? If she had got off the bus, done traveled her own way over there, walked in there like, let's go, then it'd been different. You know what I'm saying? You used to dealing with these outside elements. But this one right here, you ain't used to these outside elements. So I'm going to have to forewarn you. You know what I'm saying? But it was a good, you know what I'm saying? Even before that, it's a good differentiator to be like, okay, what they taught you at Chick-fil-A, and then you stop by McDonald's, and then, you know what I'm saying, and then you pull up, and it's a whole different scene. I was like, this how y'all do at Chick-fil-A? She was like, nah, this ain't how I go. First of all, you can't do this, you can't do that, and you got to have your hair a certain way, da da da. So they, so it's able to show the kid a differentiation between, you know what I'm saying, types of customer service and types of work environments. So, I mean, I think that was a good lesson to even just be a part of interviewing and being a part of that type shit.
Yeah, for sure. To see it all. To see it all in the compare and contrast, you know? Yeah, that's crazy. I used to work the grill at Wendy's way back in the day. That shit was the shit. I ain't gonna lie to you. That's with the square burgers. I learned a little bit about Wendy's. I learned shit that I mean, I think everybody know now, but like, you know, people love the Wendy's chili, but that ain't nothing but the old burgers that they didn't sell. Just put into the a little thing, a little pot for chili the next day.
You know, you would've did that same shit at the house, man.
Yeah. Well, nah, I mean, I ain't never have old burgers that turned into chili. I never had that much old burger meat that's going to turn into chili. It's either going to be chili or it's going to be burgers.
Right. Or it's like that old rotisserie that you didn't finish turned into a chicken salad. You know what I'm saying?
Got type that. Of shit. Yeah, for sure. Resourceful. I ain't feel no way about it. You know what I'm saying? I understand it. I see what it is. I think there's a difference, though. I think there's a difference, the different expectation when you paying for something, even if it's just fast food. You thinking that this started as chili meat, you know, nothing, you know what I mean? You didn't know the origin story of the chili meat, you know, but yeah.
And I'm only saying it like this because I ain't never bought a Wendy's chili.
Oh, yeah. People used to go crazy for that shit. I think they still do. I think they still got fans. You know how certain fast food places have certain fans for certain menus on the item for certain items on the menu.
And back in the day, Wendy's was lightweight fancy. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, Wendy's was the shit. Fighting at this Wendy's. No.
Wendy's had the, you know what I'm saying? You could exchange your fries for a whole baked potato. You know what I'm saying? With sour cream and cheese and all that shit.
Wendy's was like, I don't want to say where Shake Shack is, but it was where Five Guys is. Wendy's was expensive. It was like a step up from McDonald's a little bit. Right. Just a little bit. Yeah.
Know who
Wendy's
else was, too, when they dropped on the scene?
Who?
And they price is still high, but they ghetto as fuck. Popeyes. When Popeyes dropped on the scene in Miami, they was a step above everybody. You know what I'm saying? Prices was a little higher. The whole design was, you know what I'm saying, up to par. And you had to really make a decision. You know, Popeye smelled good. They had the little scent blowing through the air.
Right.
And I don't know what happened along the way. But
I do remember. I can't pinpoint exactly when I was first introduced to Popeyes. I got to remember exactly what. But I do remember because, you know, back in the days, KFC was king at one point. The Colonel was king way back when. Now people don't really respect the Colonel like that. It's like he done lost some of his stripes. Mm-hmm. But one thing I do remember about Popeyes, not only was it super crunchy, because that was the thing with KFC, you had the regular and the extra crispy. Mm-hmm. But the Popeyes, they kind of was extra crispy from the door, and their chicken was a little bit more aesthetically pleasing than the KFC chicken. That shit was some pretty looking chicken. You know what I mean? Like, that shit looked good. Like, I can see why people were like, oh, nah, this is a better situation. Yeah. But I do like to mess with some KFC every so often just to, to restore the feeling, because it is a different taste profile.
Yeah, definitely.
A more
what they call that shit? Savory taste.
To the KFC.
But Popeye's forced them to get that crispy version, which never did hit the mark. You know what I'm saying?
No. Original's better than extra crispy at KFC, if I'm being honest. If I really want to have some KFC. And I will say this, I do like the biscuits at KFC. The biscuits, I like them better than the Popeye's biscuits. That might be an unpopular opinion, but I like the KFC biscuit has a little bit more chew, a little bit more texture, a little fluffier. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Tastes a little better. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's where I stand on that.
Word. I ain't had KFC in years.
Yeah, neither have I. Not in years, but in the last time I had it, it didn't really do it like it was supposed to do. That's the worst when you go back for some nostalgia and it's not what it should be.
Listen, man. Know who killed me on the nostalgia? Because I'm from a place where, you know, I think the headquarters is in Miami. But they got some of the, you know what I'm saying, it was like some stand-up locations that really kept the vibe and the taste profile up. And that's the old Burger King, man.
Oh.
Man. First of all, New York Burger King never hit the mark, ever. Not in the 90s, not in the 2000s, not ever.
Okay. Okay. I'm going to say this. I'll agree with you on this. I will say this. New York City, particularly, five boroughs, fast food restaurants, they not messing with suburbs or out of the state like fast food, because the turnover is too fast and right. They don't give you the environment.
Nah,
the same thing for grocery stores.
Keep it moving. Get out.
Yeah, let's get in, get out. Did we fuck up the order? I don't care. Look, you know what I mean? Like it's way too chaotic. You know, but go ahead. So you saying Burger King
disappoints you every single fucking time. Like, you know, sometimes you be riding and be like, you know what I'm saying? Just out of nostalgia's sake, I'm going to go get a double cheeseburger or some shit. Terrible. Terrible, terrible. The last time it was good was in Miami, Burger King number 12, which they, you know what I'm saying, regard as they take pride in trying to keep that shit like it was, you know what I'm saying?
And the 12th ever.
The 12th, number 12, Burger King number 12.
Wow, that's dope.
On
okay.
Like 7th Ave and maybe, I forget what street that is, but 100 and something. But they get you your shit, that shit is hot. Your cheese is melted, your fries are hot. They take pride in that shit. But that might be the last one standing.
That's what's up. I'll tell you this, I just did the math. Outside of some free fries that they were giving away maybe 6-7 years ago, I have been boycotting Burger King for 27 years.
What happened?
Man, I remember, I guess the year was 1997. That's what the math tells me. I'm believing it was 97. I was dating this young woman, one of my first, like, real girlfriends at the, you know what I mean, turned into. But she had come out to the city or whatever. I was living out in Long Island at the moment. And then on my way down to the city, I'm getting on the LIRR. I stop at the Burger King on Grand Avenue. I'm not sure if it still is, Baldwin. And I get me I think I might have got wall. I might have had a Whopper. You know, I'm not even sure if I had it right before the day, but yeah, I had a Whopper and go down, meet the girl, and we wind up on the promenade down in Brooklyn, you know, something picturesque, you know, walking in, taking in the sights, nice night, beautiful, holding hands, everything. I start to get the BK drum roll, and I'm not talking about Brooklyn, I'm talking about Burger King. It's just some shit is reverberating in my small intestines and my stomach area. Shit is getting disgusting. And I'm trying to be cool, but there's a lot of turbulence in my midsection. And all of a sudden, I feel like that, oh shit, I'm about to throw up. Fortunately, it was a throw. Not even fortunate, could go on either way. But this shit had to get out of there. And I'm trying to be, we have it, it's so idyllic. It's such a good time. You know, like dating, you know when dating is good, it's like flying a plane. You know what I mean? When you get that nice cruise at altitude, you like, nigga, this shit, we doing it. This shit good. Man, shit started getting nasty for me. And I try to throw up like on the cool, not on the cool, but I say, hey, hold on one second. You stay right there. I'll be right back. I try to dip off to throw up. She's like, what's going on? I said, no, just stay there. She said, what's the problem? I'm like, I'm just Earl all over the place. Nasty in the middle of the promenade. Little kids are scared. You know what I mean? Everything is bananas. She was very supportive. So, are you okay? You just get some water. Da, 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 you know, but I'm so embarrassed. I'm like, oh man. And in my mind, I'm like, damn, nigga, I got the, you know, even at the, I had the water still, but I'm still like, I got the throw up mouth. You know what I mean? I might not get a kiss. You know what I mean? Like, the kiss is in jeopardy.
You might as well forget that. You might as well forget that one, brother.
I don't think, I'm not sure if I didn't get the kiss, you know, but it, I don't know. I might have been too self-conscious to even go in for the kiss with the, you know, with the throw up mouth. Even if you, So anyway, ever since then, I have not been fucking with Burger King. I was staunchly on some boycott shit. And the thing about Burger King, especially being on the road, whether it was when I was working at Vibe or just doing comedy on the road, like when you at the airport at a certain time, there are only a especially smaller airports, there are only a couple, you know, fast food outlets that are gonna be there for you. Chili's, it's Burger King, and that's about it. Maybe McDonald's. A Hudson News. McDonald's, maybe. I think they might have a thing. There might be a little separation thing. Like if it's a Burger King, it can't be a McDonald's, and that terminal has gotta be far away. I felt like I would see Burger King all the time, and it was tempting me, like, come on now, come on back. What you gonna eat? I would eat nothing. I'd eat nothing. I'd go get me some chips, whatever it was. And then, you know, after a while, like, because it's funny, as much as I have a commitment issue, I guess a commitment to spite and pettiness sometimes could I could do that. So the fact that the boycott was going so strong, I was getting some legs under it. I was like, well, shit, I'm never going there. And then one day, I only say this, I ain't give them no money. I didn't give them no money, but I did partake in the cuisine, so I it's a strike against me. If this was sobriety, I'd say, yeah, it was a relapse. That was one day I was walking down 125th Street. I guess they was doing some type of new fry. It wasn't the Euro fry. That was well before, but it was some type of new crispy fry Burger King was doing, and they was just giving free fries out. No strings attached. I was just walking past. I was like, yo, let me see what one of these little free fries is talking about. I kind of regret that because I would have had a clean 27. You know what I mean? I got an asterisk by my shit. But yeah, man, I don't mess with Burger King at all. I do not miss it in the least. You know, I do remember when it was in a rotation. Remember them little fucking oblong chicken sandwiches they used to have? And,
oh, yeah.
You know.
Oh, yeah.
Oh man, they had a couple little Burger Buddies. Remember the Burger Buddies? Was that Burger King where they had the little? They had like the two small burgers that were like conjoined.
Oh,
like
they was trying
twins.
To do like a Crystals or a White Castle or some shit.
Nah, but it wasn't. Yeah, I guess they was trying
like
to get
quick,
in that round.
Small burger. Yeah, that's,
yeah, but
they
wasn't
steamed.
I
missed that look.
Yeah, you missed that. You missed that. Yeah,
but you know, yeah, man. It's just a part of my life. My growing up, you know what I'm saying? Like, again, I don't eat that shit now because it's such a disappointment. And they just let it fall off. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. But
growing up, you know what I'm saying? That was the closest little spot to the school. So that was like the after school lunch break run. You know what I'm saying? Some of your most famous, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. Wins.
Outside wins and outside comedy. You know what I'm saying? It was like a comedy show in that motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? It was a whole deal up in there, man. So that's why it's nostalgic. And then we had, in the city, you had 54th Street Burger King, which was owned by a black man, Willie Taylor. So Willie Taylor Burger King, that's where it was at. After every game, party, there was a parade between Willie Taylor Burger King and Jumbo's, which is like a 20-block difference. So it was like our Crenshaw. You know what I'm saying? So
what's Jumbo's? What's that?
Jumbo's was like, that's like a, it was a seafood spot. You know what I'm saying? So you could go get conch, fried shrimp. You know what I'm saying? It was like a diner type of place, but I only know it for like, they got burgers and shit like that, but I only went there for like conch and shrimp boxes and shit like that. But that shit was open 24 hours. And that shit was after the club, you there, everybody there, you know what I'm saying? So between those two, but Willie Taylor Burger King, it was like the South Anchor. That's where everybody be at, you know what I'm saying? Crowd.
Gotcha.
That's like, you know what I'm saying? Life was made in them parking lots.
And that was one of the good Burger Kings as far as, or I mean, besides location, well, back then, Burger King was
good. At that time, Burger King was good. It was just always packed, and it was just always black. You know what I'm saying? Like, when you want to, you know, you want to some high quality, super hot, you venture to more of a slower side. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't, you know, Willie Taylor, though, held you down. You know what I'm saying? If you told them extra hot, they going to make it extra hot. You know what I'm saying?
Willie Taylor still around?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure if Willie Taylor himself is still around. I don't think he owned that Burger King no more, though.
Okay.
I think he had a couple of them, but back then it was his, Willie Taylor. Now, that's the, like the blackest shit ever. A Burger King Willie Taylor and shit. Like,
yeah. That's what's up.
That's like some proud shit to be doing, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. They need a documentary on Willie Taylor's Burger King. That would be cool. That'd be cool. I want to hear about it. I want to hear more about Willie Taylor's Burger King.
No doubt.
But yeah, man. Salute. Let us know your favorite fast food restaurant and which fast food restaurant you do not fuck with at all. Because sometimes people have that. They be like, I will never.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, so food poisoning will get you there quick.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And you know, it's funny. I think that might have been the only time in my entire life that I've ever had food poisoning. And I guess that's food poisoning. But, like, I'm around people that, like, they, you know, I know people that get it, like, often, you know? Wow. Like, not often, but, like, sensitive stomach. Like, they could get food poisoning like that. We could have had the same meal. You know what I'm saying? You're like, damn, bro. You know, so, yeah, so let me knock on some wood. But, yeah, that's that, man. Congratulations, though, to your daughter on her, her second job and her first going to my concert, with the homies. Yeah, her first concert ticket bought. This is her first concert over ever?
Period, yeah.
Wow, okay, this is a big deal.
Yeah, it's a big deal.
That's when
culture starts to invade your whole life.
Yeah.
I don't know how it's gonna, you know, I don't know how I feel about it, you know what I'm saying? But it is what it is. We was out there watching Two Live Crew and shit. So
I was about to say, nigga, you from the land of the explicit. You know what I'm saying? This ain't that. Yeah. So, I mean, you know.
Here we go. You know?
You know what? I got a question. Speaking of youth and working, right? I was at the library yesterday, right? And one of the things I was doing is writing, but then one of the things I was doing is looking through the latest Essence magazine, right? Had Frankie Beverly on the cover as he's closing out the Essence Festival again this year.
Right.
But, and I want to make sure I get her name correct. And it's funny because it's been a couple things that have brought about this question. So anyway, I was at the, I'm looking through the Essence, and the editor, I don't even know if they use the term editor in chief anymore.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think they got a different thing.
Oh, right.
It's something different. It's the, it's the, director, Essence Senior Content, director at Essence Ventures, vice president of content. I guess that's the head of the masthead. So it's not really called editor in chief anymore. But anyway, editor in chief, her name is Nandi Howard.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, I think like 28, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
She's a young editor, youngest, at the top of the masthead since Susan Taylor, right? Then I was listening to an old podcast with Kieran Umayu. She was talking about when she helmed Honey back in the day. She was like 27. And I don't know, it was a couple different, and then Nandi's editorial letter. But there was a couple different things that were swirling around and probably other shit that I can't really put a finger on. But the question was, and I know that you work at least something that centers black culture. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to say it's youth, but Would you have a problem, maybe you do now, would you have a problem working for somebody that was like half your age?
Nah, man. For what?
Okay.
You the one out here looking. Nah, you the one trying to get some work.
Yeah. Shit. Oh, you know what else? You know what else made me think about that? Go ahead. Keep going. Talk to, go speak
nah,
to
I'm
it.
I'm saying, it's like this, man. The longer you at this shit, you know what I'm saying, more people going to rise up. And even in your own company, you know what I'm saying? You're going to come across people who younger than you that want to hire you. You know what I'm saying? And which essentially in that moment makes them your boss or whatever. You know what I'm saying? That's mm-hmm. your client. You still got to fulfill the role. You know what I'm saying? And even now, we have to speak to an audience that's much younger than me. You know what I'm saying? And I don't have no problems with that. You know what I mean? Because at the end of the day, all I'm doing is sounding pitches, man. That's all this shit is. You could put any sound, any pictures you want in front of the camera to develop a product. As long as you understanding where culture is and where things are, that shouldn't be a problem for you. If it was somebody that's young, shit, my boss is much younger than me. You know what I'm saying? Like the CEO of Revolt is probably 10 years younger than me. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And there's people that's under him that's still over me that's, you know what I'm saying, the same age or younger. So it's not a thing to me because I do shit for the outcomes, not for my own personal ego or I'm trying to be this because I am who I made myself. You know what I'm saying? So if I step back outside, I am me. You know what I'm saying? Regardless. And you're going to be dealing with young motherfuckers. And if you keep going, the people just going to get younger. You know what I'm saying? Them same people that was, my daughter is starting out now. 10 years, she gonna be somebody. You know what I'm saying? If I'm still around doing shit, I'm gonna have to do business with people that's coming up with her. I'm gonna have to do business with people that's coming up with my son. I'm already doing business with my son, my oldest son. So, you know what I'm saying? If you look at it like age can't tell you shit, then you're gonna cut yourself out of a lot of shit. So I don't even look at it like that. I just try to vibe with whatever the energy is. And we could just make magic with these sounds and pictures, man. You know what I'm saying? Because I could go, like, the thing about it was working on your own and you trying to figure out what type of shit you're going to shoot. In the beginning, I'll be like, man, I'm only going to do big shit. Big shit. Until you realize them big shits only pay 60, 90 days out. You know what I'm saying? What you going to do this month? That's 2 months down the road. So you end up doing smaller things. And then those smaller things end up keeping you afloat. Those are the things that really matter. If you lose a big thing, but you still got your smaller shit that could, you know what I'm saying, help you make your month, you ain't too much worried about it. But then when you hit another big thing, you up. You know what I'm saying? And in those small things, you might be shooting toddlers, man. You know what I'm saying? And you be like, man, I'm out here shooting toddlers. But at the end of the day, you know what I'm saying? At the end of the day, nigga, it's teaching you something. You know what I'm saying? You learning. I like one thing you learn about shooting like different demos and shit is like you start to get to know them in a different kind of way. And it's like teenagers, right? When you shooting teenagers, them motherfuckers have no sense of space. You know what I'm saying? Like you might be shooting somebody walk right in front of your shit, be like, damn, didn't you just see me shooting there? They don't care.
Right. Because
they don't, that's teenagers hilarious. Don't be paying attention to that type of shit. Not you. You know what I'm saying? They like to stick in their own little groups. And then, you know what I mean? It's just weird how different groups of ages act. You know what I mean? But you had to get used to all of them so you should be able to do it. And as my pops would say, you know what I'm saying? Back in the day, he'd be like, man, shit, you ain't never played out if you're relevant. You know what I mean? And right. Understanding the different groups, ages, generation, keep you relevant because no matter how you think about it, a particular group is going to affect how the next wave of shit go. You know what I'm saying? Even when they get 40, they're going to still be rooted in the shit they came up with. And the closer you are to understanding that, the closer you are to understanding it when it matriculates to the next level.
Yeah, I hear that. And I agree. I agree with all of that shit. I was, you know, that was the other thing. I was watching The Bear season 3 came back, right? Mm-hmm. And, I'm not all the way through with it, but I got to, which I think is the best episode so far, the called Napkins, and it's about the Tina character, you know, just her trying to find a job or whatever. I thought it was the best episode so far. And Ayo Atterbury, she's one of the characters on there, Sydney. She directed it too. So it was fire. Mm-hmm. But she was also talking about, you know, she was going back out trying to get a job. She had lost her job for 15 years and she's back in the world and everybody's so much younger than her and this, that, and the other thing. And she was just like, you know, it was very easy. I could see myself really, I see all these young people and they starting their lives and they're at the beginning of their lives and they're doing these jobs that, you know, I used to do and blah, blah, blah. And I could, you know, I think she did say, so I could hate them, but I don't. You know, she was like, I'm jealous. She was like, I would love to switch with them or whatever. Mm-hmm. Now, I wouldn't want to switch with nobody, but I do get inspired by, like, you know, just like, what's the next take on this world, you know, this mm-hmm. culture, this whatever's going on, like, what's the fresh air? What's the new voice? What's going, you know, how are they looking at things? It's always interesting to me because I think you got, after you get to a certain age in life, as you start to get older, you start to realize that you need to be deliberate in how you move forward. Like, you could become old and crotchety, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? And kind of bitter against everything that's new. I never really liked that. And you, to your point, like, relevance is what's going on. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, but a lot of people don't really see, like, the grass growing long under their feet. They just happy that they, like, you know, they sticking to their guns and their right. principles. And they don't, you know, you, like, you don't even realize you played out.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And I'm not trying to chase relevance. I'm just trying to be open.
Right.
You know, to open and present to everything, to all voices, but definitely not dismissive of anything. Because the fact is, you could learn some shit. People look at things differently, and they could put you on the shit. Everything is changing, so yeah. you could learn a lot. And like, the funny thing is, when you learn, sometimes you don't even, they don't, the, you know, just in general, like, sometimes somebody younger might drop a gem on you mm-hmm. and you don't, like, they might not even realize it was much of a gem that they dropped on you, mm-hmm. but that shit was like putting a whole new pair of glasses on you. Like, oh shit, mm-hmm. oh, I ain't even think about that. Like, you feel like one of them old motherfuckers that's mind blown. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? Like, I do remember that type of shit. I find myself sometimes being an old mind blown ass motherfucker. Like, oh shit, that's crazy. I ain't even think about that, which is cool. Which is like, you feel alive.
Yeah.
But, you know, as I'm getting older, it's like, you know, I talk about this on stage, like, I'm pretty much older than every reference point for old that there was when I was young. You know? Like, you know what I'm saying?
No doubt.
Like, doctors, you know, yeah, judges. Yeah. Look at, I realized I was older than Ron DeSantis. I was like, oh, hell no. Nah, this, because he seemed like, you know, he on the wrong side of the shit. And I'm thinking he gotta be, you know, older. But nah, he a younger cat. And he on that old antebellum ass. You know what I'm saying? Nouveau antebellum ass shit. Mm-hmm. But any fucking way, man. It was just something to, I was reading that editor's letter. Mm-hmm. And she was talking about, you know, how sometimes youth could be something that is held against her. You know what I'm saying? It's not the first time I've heard that. Mm. And I do know that, you know, for many, not even in a work capacity, but for many to kind of yield to somebody that, you know what I mean, you're older than, it could be a problem sometimes. Some people aren't always, mm-hmm. you know, open to that. So it's just, you know, just some shit I wanted to.
No, it's definitely a problem.
Bring up.
It's definitely a problem, you know what I'm saying? But before I get there, one of the things that tripped me the fuck out was that I'm older than Red Fox was when he played Fred Sanford.
Man,
and I thought crazy? that nigga was in the grave. You know what I'm saying?
Man, yeah. Yeah, he was in his 40s.
He was in his 40s. I'm like, goddamn.
Yeah. Like, get out of here. All of that type of shit, man. Fucking Carol Burnett with Mama's Family, or was that Vicky? She's 39 or nigga. Some shit like that. Estelle Getty was young. I remember the first time I seen Estelle Getty with no wig on. I was like, oh shit, she's young.
And I think we older than the Golden Girls was when that shit was out.
That's what I'm saying, Estelle Getty. That was Sophia.
Oh, shit. But
we older than everybody that was God old. Damn. But ain't that some crazy shit? Older than all these motherfuckers.
That shit's crazy.
Old, man. I remember back in the days when basketball players was young, you know, older than me.
Right.
You know what I mean? I'm older than LeBron. LeBron, like damn near the oldest nigga in the league.
Yeah, but that get quick. that go quick.
Yeah, that's the first wave.
Niggas,
yeah.
You start seeing how young they getting, but them niggas don't never get to be old in the NFL. You know what I'm saying?
Nah. Ain't been out of there.
It might be a few, like Tom Brady and my man from Green Bay. You know what I'm saying? That's about it.
Oh, Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers and them and shit. But other than that, boy, niggas be young.
Oh, wait. Not Aaron Rodgers. What was my man's name?
Aaron Rodgers seemed like he was old, too.
Nah, but Brett Favre.
Brett Favre. Roethlisberger. Right. All them niggas old.
All them, yeah.
That's about old as you going to get. But.
Yeah, you got to go. But they start getting concerned about you.
Yeah.
And you get concerned as a fan and you find out, it's like a 39. Why they so concerned?
Right.
Shit, somebody need to be checking on me.
Imagine you 32, got to start your whole life over, find a whole new career. That shit crazy.
Shit.
Speaking about.
Yeah. You got to, and it, you know what? Honestly, I was about to be dismissive and be like, yeah, I mean, it's easy. You sitting on $100 million. But
shit,
even
not
still,
all of them ain't sitting on $100 million. That's very few.
A lot of them ain't sitting on. Very, very few. And even the ones that sitting on just a few million, the thing is, that was your identity for your damn near your entire life since you was a kid.
You know what I'm saying? Fourth grade.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? You know what I'm saying? And we talk about all the cats who ain't make it and all that shit. But even Michael Jordan just wasn't happy not being on the court. You know what I'm saying? Michael Jordan still got vendettas to point out in the Hall of Fame. That nigga,
right.
He still got a gamble. He got to do something to keep it going, but he'll never walk in an arena and shoot that three and make the whole place go nuts. The game winner and all that. That's over. You know what I'm saying? And you see him on this documentary, he take that shit personally. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't want to hear nothing about that shit. These new niggas, man, it's tough when you've been doing something your whole life since third, fourth grade. It's tough when you've been in the career for 10 years. What, you know what I'm saying? You got to change jobs after 15 years, nigga. That's tough. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So I don't think players get enough grace in that area. You know what I'm saying? I don't think there's anything set up for them to get grace. It's just like, all right, nigga, it's over. And you're like, God damn, I might be sitting on $2 million the rest of my life. What else I'm going to do? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I got these house notes, and I got girlfriends in every city. Like, nigga,
right?
That shit going fast.
Yeah. Right, yeah, you gotta really shift everything. And that's a blow to the ego, too.
Yeah.
Because you can't maintain all of that shit no more.
Unless you have figured that shit out.
Right. Unless you was living like Ocho Cinco, you know.
investing like LeBron, you know what I'm saying?
Right, yeah. But also, what the other part about that is not only do you have to figure out how to move on mentally, the problem is, especially if you're an athlete of note, every time you go out in the world, all the old fans want to bring you back to, yo, man, remember that nigga? You lost me money when you was in the such and such, man. I remember that one game when you missed the three. And you're like, nigga, I try my hardest not to think about that. Now I can't even go to the supermarket without this motherfucker.
No, sir.
Ain't this a bitch? No, you know what I'm saying? Like, they don't, you know.
Top notch, nigga. You can't get out of shape. You can't do nothing.
not at all, dog. You just haunted by your youth.
You know what I'm saying?
That's some shit. Oh, hell
imagine
no.
Imagine LeBron look getting fat, shit. Nigga. 6'8", fat nigga.
Oh, man.
Come on, man. You can't especially hide.
So fat, so fat to where it's unfamiliar. Wait, nigga, I thought it was LeBron, but nigga, what happened? That's the crazy shit with motherfuckers that you don't know and don't really have any real relationship to you and any true concern for you are entitled to answers. Right. What happened? Nigga, what the fuck is you talking about? Nigga, we are at the movies. Who is this motherfucker? Oh, man, this is why I used to love to get screeners. Now I got to be at the AMC, right, tighten this chair, and this motherfucker here talking about what happened. Yeah, and he don't want to, hey, man. Go ahead now. Yeah, that's crazy, dog. Oh, shit, man. What's up with you, man? What else is going on?
Yeah, shit, I'm good, man. You know, like I said, yeah, man, it's just working, trying to keep this shit on point, trying to find my way back to myself. You was out last week, so Brendan was on here. He asked me a crazy question.
Yeah.
Nigga said, do you think you still in the hospital? You know what I'm saying? Like, mentally. Went beyond that point. And
I
wasn't ready for that, nigga. Like, nigga, is you psychoanalyzing me on the air, nigga? Right, I got to answer this shit in front of everybody. But yeah, at the same time, I started to notice things that you use as comfort crutches and shit. And that question has come up, I notice them right away, and then I try to course correct and just keep on about my way, you know what I'm saying? So it's just at that point now where we almost coming up on a year. This month will be a year, and got to figure out how to move forward with the tools that you have left. And that's it, man. So yeah. I settled in with that, because one thing, you can't just settle into it. You know what I'm saying? Like you said, the grass grow under your feet. That can't happen. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, you could easily just settle in like, okay, this is where it goes left. But that can't happen. You know what I'm saying? So now you got to figure out how to reinvigorate your zeal for life. You know what I'm saying? Your zeal for learning. And that's the main part, is learning, exploring, figuring shit out, where it's at now. You know what I'm saying? Because I've always known that. And that's something that you gotta stick to. You know what I'm saying? It's like we was talking about learning, what the young people doing. It's like I don't have no other vantage point of it, because I just remember being young, and anything I said made no sense to no grown people. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, I'm a work in that industry right there. They like, industry? What industry, nigga? That's a couple of records, nigga. I'm a work there. And then you end up doing it. And then one of the theories I had as a young person was, you know, everybody was like, you gotta do this, you gotta do this, you gotta do this. But then when everybody in the world is experiencing this thing, let's say music, hip hop, when it was coming out, it wasn't a big old thing, but everybody's experiencing it. By the time you grow, say you turn from 15 to 30, everybody that's 30 with you have grown and experienced this thing. So it's part of the zeitgeist, and it's not strange. You know what I'm saying? When y'all turn 40, it's super not strange. You know what I'm saying? To me, it was a whole career, it was a whole world. Just like these kids now, whatever they doing, when they grow in 10 years, they gonna all be a part of it. Just like everybody, like the reminisce over the best vines and shit. You know what I'm saying? And that culture has turned into Instagram, to the TikTok. You know what I'm saying? This is their world. So by the time they turn 50, their world is just going to be always based on what they came up with. And if you ain't tapped into it, you're going to miss that shit. If you still holding on to the shit you came up with, you know what I'm saying? You're going to miss whatever's coming, because that shit just going to keep going. And it's going to be based. And see, once you stop learning where the origins of stuff come from, you start to get lost. Like, damn, where the fuck they come from? What the fuck they doing? You know what I'm saying? And either you're going to learn about it and find out, or you're going to let it pass on by. And I'm not saying you can catch everything, because, shit, in my day, I missed the cross-colors Carl Canai era. You know what I'm saying? which is crazy. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I think I might have one cross-color shirt and a pair of pants and one pair of Carcanines, but I missed that whole era. I wasn't in it. I ain't had no money. I missed it. I watched everybody do all that shit, and I couldn't play a part of it. And then when I did get it, that shit was over. It was Fat Farm and some new shit at this point. Sean John and whatever the fuck else was happening. You know what I mean? So, you know, you can't catch everything, but you got to kind of know some origin stories, kind of tap into a place where you want to be, you know what I mean, in your future. Where is it that you want to be? Whether it's shit might be farming for some people. That shit might be something else. Might be just vacationing. But at the same time, how people go about doing these things still is influenced by the technology and the way that people work now. And again, that's where my brain lies. Hopefully I could keep it that way.
Have you noticed any new things that you have implemented since, you know?
I ain't implement shit.
Not yet?
Nah, that's one of the things. I ain't implement shit. It's like, that's the wake-up call. Because, again, a lot of times you just stuck inside of your own self. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And not that you're afraid to move, it's just you moving very, you know what I'm saying, with a lot of trepidation. You know what I'm saying? You know, I was trying to figure out how to say that in another tense, trepidationless. But you just moving with a lot of fear, you know what I'm saying, which you got to shake. Because you won't be able to get to anywhere where you're going with that trepidation. And that kind of question about, do you think you're still in the hospital? Not literally, but figuratively.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
That was an important question because you got to shake all that shit. Fuck that hospital. You know what I'm saying? Fuck that.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because that ain't nowhere where I'm going. And nowhere where I want to go back to.
Yeah. Yeah, and the thing about it is, it's very, you the one that sets the expectation. Because for something as like traumatic and like impactful, you know, like significant as what you went through, it'd be very easy for people to be like, well, nah, it's different now, blah, blah, blah. And it is different now, but it's, you know, it doesn't mean that it's over, you know, right. And some people may not, you know, like, so they're going to kind of follow your lead,
right.
You know what I mean? Like, oh shit. Oh, wow. You know what I mean? To the point to sometimes people will forget, you know, like, it's not the best example, but it is example. I was watching, you know, when I watched the Ken and Friends pop out, right? Mm-hmm. And they brought out Dr. Dre. I don't know where I heard it, who brought it back up, or where I read something. I forgot that Dre had an aneurysm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, forget about it, kind of. Not to say that it, you know, didn't have, like, it just, I don't know. I don't see it. I mean, you don't see him a lot. So that's why it's not the best example, but you don't see him a lot. So when I did see him, he just looked like the Dre that we've been seeing, you know, like he didn't look, you know, hot, you know what I'm saying? Like he didn't look affected, you know what I mean? Right. In that way or move in a different way or whatever. So it's just kind of like, you know, how it is now. Like, you know, this new part, this new, you know, chapter in your life, you are the author.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And that's how people gonna respond to it. Yeah. So, you know,
I mean,
and I'm go ahead.
Now, I don't know, you know what I'm saying? They haven't talked much about his, you know what I'm saying? So you try to read up on it, but you know, you stay vague and keep it real, you know what I'm saying? Yep, it's happening, I'm good, you know what I'm saying? But going through it, most of the shit that happened to you, nobody sees if it don't affect you very hard. You know what I'm saying, immobilize you, or you know what I'm saying, have those type of effects on you. Most people will pass on, it affected you like that. You know what I'm saying? But the shit that affects you most is inside your head, and only you know that shit. You like, damn, nigga. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And you see he ain't stay out on that stage that long. That nigga said, I see dead people And then he hauled ass.
Stepped off. Stepped off. He ain't want to be one of them deadbeats.
Hey, remember Jay-Z on the goddamn Beyonce Coachella show? That nigga came out, that one verse was huffing and puffing. This lady came out here and danced her ass off. Ain't even breathing hard. Nigga stepped out for one verse.
That stage is like a treadmill, and that shit is going. It ain't even no warm-up, nigga. You got in the middle of the sprint. Hell yeah, he was all the way with it. He was like, oh, shit, nigga, I got to get into some activism. Yeah, figure this shit out, nigga. What
I ain't seen that nigga
done?
Yet perform since.
How could I affect change? Exactly. Oh, man, yeah, no, that shit wild. Yeah. I hear that, though. You got any plans for the 4th?
Yeah, man. My homeboy having a 4th of July. He just texted me while we was on here. So, shit, I guess that's the plan. Okay. You know what I'm saying? All
right. That's
yes, sir. That's appreciate getting invited to shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's a beautiful thing. Nick, that's a beautiful thing.
One motherfucker said I was down bad when I was down. I took that personally. So... Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Niggas think you down bad. They stop inviting you to shit. Like, you know, I don't want this nigga come over here. You know what I'm saying? Bringing down the vibe.
With that energy. Nigga. Listen, these are festivities. You know what I'm saying? Don't come with that negativity.
Come with
all
that old sick man. Shit, nigga.
Yeah, man. Go ahead, man. Go ahead. We wish you well. Say, from afar.
I heard Ali was down bad, nigga. I was like, nigga, what? Down bad?
Oh, that's what. Oh, that was. I thought you was talking about somebody else. I thought you was talking about a rap
about
lyric.
Me.
Oh, shit.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
The nigga thought he wasn't being serious or whatever, but I took it personally. I was like, oh, man, fuck y'all, nigga. Down bad, nigga.
Shit. Yeah, exactly, nigga. Hold on. I'll show you.
Even though I was down bad. Just ain't no shit for you to tell a nigga. You know what I'm saying?
No.
And I don't know if he meant to say it to me. You know, he said it to his brother.
Right.
And his brother passed it on like it was a joke. I'm like, fuck both of you niggas, okay?
You was in the chair looking at that iPad like Michael Jordan. Nigga, he was like, I took that personally.
I took that personally.
Like, I'm bad, motherfucker. I'll show you. Yeah, that I that you got to. Shit. Oh, man. That's what's up, man. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm playing it by ear. I got a light plan, but we'll see.
Word.
We will see, man. Shit. I think it's time we talk about these shows,
yeah, man.
Before we get up out of here.
Let's
talk about these shows. Where you go, Queenside?
Yeah,
all right,
go ahead.
What you feeling?
Well, you know, it's been 2 episodes, so I'm, you know, it's kind of mixed up.
Oh,
it's all kind of mixed all together.
Right.
So,
okay, man.
But one notable thing I wanted to throw out there first was Tyreek back walking again.
Oh, just that fast, right? Didn't he get his whip?
Yeah, he
back
stole
for
his
a
whip
second,
back
and
from
he sold
Two Bit.
It.
Yeah, but then they sold their cars to get the money to get back on. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, get back in the game. Yeah.
So you know. Braden's family is, you know, on the outs right now. He down bad on his money. Sister snorting coke, and she down bad. Goddamn, you know, Tyreek always got some shit going. So, anyway, you know, we was at the point where Monet was trying to piece together how the fuck she got shot. You know what I'm saying? She got an old partner in town from Atlanta. You know what I'm saying? Trying to help her hold shit down, keep it together. She trying to figure this shit out. She ain't figured it out yet. You know what I'm saying? Drew and the sister. What's the sister's name?
Diane.
Wait,
hold on. Now, let me ask you a question. The partner, Golden Brooks, right? Now, that's the one that raised Zeke?
Yes. That's Golden Brooks.
Got it. Go ahead. I'm pretty sure that's Golden Brooks. I'm almost positive.
Wow. She grew up.
Yeah, that's what happened.
Yeah.
That's what happened. Yeah. I'm almost positive. I'm gonna do the research
Golden Brooks
on that. Keep
from
going.
Like Motives. Motives too, nigga.
girlfriends.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I'm talking about the movies I worked on. She was in Motives.
No. Oh, okay, right. Okay, yeah.
Actually, Motives 2 probably is like, I consider one of my best works for what we was dealing with. But yeah, anyway.
Okay.
As a music supervisor, like, nigga,
it's a blast.
We had no money, nigga. We got 2 songs from Rafael Sadiq. That was, put that Guapale in there before that shit was hitting. You know what I'm saying? That shit turned out to hit. That Closer to Your Dreams. That's when this rapper from Miami named Jackie O had that record Pussy that was popping. I mean, we had a lot of good records in that.
Oh, yeah.
Nigga was like, shit, we pulled that shit off. But anyway,
nah, that's a win. That's a win, man. That reminds me of, and we ain't going to get into it all the way, but that reminds me, I saw this documentary about, what's my girl's name? Roberta Flack. Mm-hmm. And they just, that whole music supervision joint. She had a record, it wasn't Killing Them Softly. Damn, I'm going to find out the name of it, but it was a record that she had. And Clint Eastwood came across it just driving, just out the blue. He came across it. He was like, yo, I want this shit in my movie. It might have been one of his first movies he's directed. I think it was in Dirty Harry or one of them type of joints. Mm-hmm. And that shit took her to a whole nother level. Like, she was cracking, but then that shit, but she was, they only had $1,000. That's what makes me think about what you saying, like having a limited budget. I mean, $1,000 way back then, different, but still, it wasn't what she was talking about. Mm-hmm. So she had she had weight already. I think she might even had a Grammy by that. Mm-hmm. So she was like, well, look, the only way I'll do it for that, you gotta let that whole record play. Mm. Like, you know what I mean? Like, don't cut my shit up. We ain't doing none of that. It ain't no snippets. Let that bitch breathe. And they let it breathe. You know what I mean? So, yeah. Shout out. I found out a lot about Roberta Flack, though, in that documentary. Y'all should check it out.
Yeah,
Roberta.
Check that out.
Yeah, Roberta. Man. Yeah, man. Peace. Shout out to Mike Tyner, too. He's a producer on that. Mm-hmm. The people's.
But anyway, back to Queens. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Back to Queens.
Diane is pregnant. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. With Tariq's baby, allegedly. You know what I'm saying? The first little episode, they were still trying to hide out from Monet as far as her finding out. She eventually put that shit together, and with the help of Tariq and his transgender PI or whatever, the official.
Bonnie, right?
Yeah, Donnie.
I think it's Donnie. Because I remember seeing the text on, I was like, who the fuck is Donnie?
Right.
And then. No. Wait, Donnie might be somebody else. I think her name is Pinky or some shit.
Pinky,
like that.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, I think her name Pinky,
He got Pinky on the case, like doing some, you know, intel reconnaissance, trying to find out who shot Monet, but then, you know what I'm saying? Did he actually shoot her? Because now I'm confused. Because it was
I don't even remember. They done got me in the. I totally forgot.
I'm in a blender.
Because I'm like, wait, somebody was like, so Diane was acting like Monet. Like,
well, I remember that. Like, I remember Diane taking the stuff to Kate Egan's house. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if they showed her, but she was too scraggly to be Monet. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, kind of remember that. Yeah, kind of remember. I got to go back, maybe. I'm not, but you know, in theory, I should go back to get more perspective. Right.
So
go ahead.
Goddamn, Tariq and Brayton need a plug. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, he hatched up a scheme, you know what I'm saying, with a rival, you know what I'm saying? They tried to buy from one of Davis's guys, Method Man's guys.
Mm-hmm.
And he like, man, fuck out of here, man. You know what I'm saying? You short, man. The minimum is 15, nigga, if I want to fuck with you. Just one of them old, you know what I'm saying, you know, cantankerous drug dealers and shit. You know what I'm saying? Which probably going to end up being some type of problem that he's going to have to get killed somewhere in this season. But anyway... You know, they had to figure out how to get him to agree to sell it to him. But he hatched up a plan where, you know, he showed Effie the product. Like, who is some competition out here? Who the fuck y'all got out here selling this dope with this packaging on it? Effie tells goddamn Kane. Kane tells Mona. Mona orders the hit. Get rid of that nigga. You know what I'm saying? Quietly. Kane goes and blows up the nigga's shipment. You know what I'm saying?
And that was the okie doke, because he was only showing her some samples, right?
Yeah, it was an okie doke. It was definitely an okie doke.
Right, okay. Yeah, for sure.
So then, you know, he ends up getting arrested on the scene, so he off the board. You know what I'm saying? Which opens the door for a new connect, which becomes Tyreek and Brayden. But Effie them, they don't know she fell for the okie doke. Kane kind of figured it out, but she ran the, you know what I'm saying, what they call that shit? She ran the gaslight program on him. Oh, you gonna accuse me of some shit that you doing? He be like, we wasn't talking about me. We was talking about you. You fucking the boss. You fucking the boss. You can't talk to me about shit.
That's, you're like, all right,
that's where the conversation ended.
Yeah. He said, all right, go ahead with your little test. She's still studying for that interview or test or whatever.
Studying for what's going to happen with that? She's trying to get her future. She's going to be the only one that's going to get to her future, man. Everybody else ain't going to
we'll
make
see.
It.
We'll see. Hopefully.
Everybody else ain't got
hopefully.
No future.
Hopefully. We'll see.
I mean, you know, Kane is fucking with Noma, so shit, he might have a limited future.
You see how that ends. Yeah, you see how that goes. Straight knife to the neck.
The last one. But what, go ahead.
That was the first time, and I remember saying that when we talked about it. I was like, Noma need to show us something to justify the scary demeanor that she got out here. I guess she heard the kid.
I mean,
she was like, oh, all right, you need to, you know, they, okay.
I mean, because it's just her and the one dude. Now, y'all ain't got no big old crew and shit.
Right. Just, but she still get dirty.
Yeah.
I guess she still kill a motherfucker.
Yeah.
Need be.
Yeah, she will stab you in the throat as she did, old boy.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So then the new officer friendly is on the case. You know what I'm saying? Old Ely. Trying to figure this shit out. He hot on Tariq. Then they brought back Tate Brother. You know what I'm saying? Come. He trying to insert himself. Mikey Ely like, man, you need to go fall in line, man. Shit, now you doing too much.
Fall back.
So Tariq is evading the law as usual, always. You know what I mean? You know, he picked up another body looking for Diane, his baby mama, which he didn't know was his baby mama until he figured out where she was at through old Pinky, the PI. But shit, it seemed like everybody figured it out at the same damn time. Shit.
Well, nah, he figured it out from Celine.
Yeah, but
he ran up on Celine.
Yeah, Pinky took him to Celine.
Oh, Pinky told him he's at Celine's house.
Then she went to Celine's. Then he like, where she at? Celine folded quick as hell as soon as the gun came out.
Folded.
I mean, goddamn, nigga. But then if you gonna fold, then, go ahead.
Stay folded.
Yeah, stay folded.
Stay
nigga.
Folded. What you doing?
Now you wanna
fold it up. Now, because the nigga called you soft, nigga, you just folded after he clacked that shit. Stay folded,
man,
now.
Stay
now
folded.
You're done.
Nah, nigga.
Now
God
you're done.
Damn,
that's over.
Live to die another
that's
day,
over.
Nigga.
Yeah.
Hang you want to fight nigga, this nigga. This is his show. You can't win.
He don't nigga. Know. He had no idea this.
This your first scene back the whole season.
Yeah, man, just to get killed. It was so inconsequential. I knew it. One of my homies was, I think, Lambert. He was like, yo, man, I'm surprised they shot Salim. What? I'm surprised they brought that nigga back. They brought 2-Bit back just to get his car stolen. They be bringing niggas back for the L. Yo, we got an L for you. You want to come in and read for this L? Yeah, why not, man? Go ahead. I ain't doing anything. They ain't doing shit. That's how, that's what the casting agent be like, nigga, you ain't doing shit. Come in here and take this L real quick. I ain't fucking. Let me go ahead and get my car stolen.
They brought 2-Bit back to get his car stolen. It wasn't even his car.
Ain't that a bitch? It wasn't even his car. Oh, shit. Anyway, yo. But, but that, I gotta say this, because to your point, when everybody converge, not even that. I watched this most recent episode. We keep talking about this. I just got to say this. This show is so fucking ridiculous. It's hilarious how ridiculous it is. Like, it's ridiculous. It's just still such a, like, I forget. I'm saying week after week, but the tonality between the universe is various levels, you know. Mm-hmm. So this is so soap opera, mm-hmm. such a soap opera. Because, and it's like sometimes I wish the especially given the fact that this is the last season, mm-hmm. right? We're about to be into the mid-season finale next week. So I guess there might be another 5 more episodes or something like that. I want them to take some bigger swings. Now, this is the other thing is, again, they've been hinting that there might be a whole nother universe show coming out. So maybe they got to hold certain people for the new universe show. Mm-hmm. But I wish they would take some bigger swings and kill people off. Like, killing Salim, again, man, that shit did nothing really. Like, when Monet, like, Drew should had about 4 different times to be killed in that last episode. Kane could have killed him twice. Monet could have killed him. Monet could have killed Diana. Like, Monet, like, I just said this thing about Noma not getting no, you know, I mean, Monet did handle my man at the front desk, the motel clerk. Mm-hmm. But again, these are people that don't really mean nothing. I wish it would have been something, for me, it'd have been something like, damn, she popped her own child, or he killed his own brother. Like, to get back to some of the, like, darkness of what, like, mm-hmm. early power could be, mm-hmm. you know, like, because it just looks, it just looked like a blower. It's the second time that I could recall that Drew, instead of pulling the trigger, he just go, run the fuck off. Like, what the fuck is that?
The problem, with his runoff, he didn't even get the money he came looking for.
Man, come You're on. Saying? What's going on, man? Yeah.
Kane's in there. Yeah. Oh, you looking for that? You ain't, nah, nigga. I'm like, nigga, get your money and then holla right. off.
Right, exactly. Take that money from that nigga. Beat off with the bread.
Just Kane and have the money?
With nothing.
You need it? And yeah, you on the man. Run with nothing?
Man, come on. Come on, Monet getting tossed off the bed like that's comical. She done passed out at the Mexican standoff. Like, what's going on with Monet? They got her looking
Monet
silly.
Monet fresh out of the they hospital, man. She need to sit down like a friend told her.
She, right, but it's like, pick a side. Either you going to be out in these streets and, you know what I mean? Why? I guess that is the thing about it. But shit, Kane fresh off of getting shot, but this nigga man, moving around tell. Like, you know.
You done forgot about man. That since but, episode 1.
You know, exactly. So sometimes I'm like, what are we supposed to hold on to? The only person that's saying Monet is sick is Golden Brooks. Right. She's like, nigga, sit down. You know, and then that was another thing that I noticed when she came home and her name is Janet. She came home, Monet, you know, Monet just be huffing and puffing. That's what Drew gets to huff and puff. Even though Monet don't like when Drew huff and puff. It's like, oh, but she come through mad, you know, mad Monet. And Janet was like, you need to listen to me. She's talking all loud. She's like, there's a detective downstairs who wants to know about all of this drug trafficking. And I'm like, this nigga downstairs. You are way too loud for there to be a detective. Especially this nigga that be monitoring that. Fucking breath control. She ain't say the drug trafficking, but she was like, there's a detective downstairs and you need to get it together. And she's like, oh, good looking out. And that nigga, because that nigga is a perceptive nigga. He's like, whoa, 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 your pulse changed. You know, that nigga is real thirsty for the lead.
Right.
But anyway, man. It's just getting a little ridiculous somewhat. I'm still here for it, but, you Davis, know, the shit is...
Davis in full swing as a dope boy investor and, you know, crime cartel advisor.
And Playboy.
Playboy.
Nigga, fucking everything now.
He got sex references every other scene.
Everything,
Kane
man.
Getting busy with Effie and Monet. Yep. Well, man, Effie probably ain't going to get on no more. But, you know, it is what it is. Maybe.
Yeah, we'll see.
I mean, the crazy part about this whole soap opera is that everything happens between these little 5-6 people. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, yeah.
Like everything, yep. the whole thing. She pregnant, that was his ex, mm-hmm. now she messing with him. Now, hey, come on, man. Nobody got no outside friends.
Wow.
No outside friends.
And then I don't know, is Braden on coke or not?
Braden is on coke. Braden did take some coke.
Okay, because He took some coke, but then I'm like, because I know that there was that one scene where he was like, he was hype talking to, I guess, cocaine, like little cocaine mania, when he was talking to Tariq. And then what we going to do, we going to make motherfucking City High. They going to be the hottest group in the city, right? Because what we going to be doing is we going to be selling shit through the merch. And I guess that was supposed to be him like on some real amped up coke shit. Mm-hmm. But then he don't really, it hasn't gotten, it hasn't become a problem yet. And then Tariq hitting the blunt.
Tariq hitting the blunt and
not
a drink.
To say and a drink. So now they both about to be off point in a second. Like, what's going on? I'm just curious where this going.
There's a lot going on, my boy.
yeah. He said, I need that. Yeah, hold on. Pass that. Yeah,
a lot going on, my boy.
And then he want more, because then he see fucking Noma's daughter. What's her name? Anya, the little brat.
Oh, yeah, he saw a play.
He saw a play. Bar. He saw a play, but, you know, we'll see. You know, Tariq a wild boy. He's a wild one, man. He's a wild one. He moves through, and I don't expect anything to happen to Tariq. I just want to know how he going to come out on top, what ridiculous shit's going to happen.
Tariq going to get his trust back, man, and walk off in the sunset.
We'll see. Him and Effie. Effie going to be a little biology or whatever. What's she trying to be?
Engineer or something?
What's your engineer? Yeah, engineer. Maybe they don't walk off together. They ain't gonna walk off together. He now ain't got Diana.
He gonna have
Diana
a baby with Diana.
Baby. Yeah,
it's gonna be Power Book 5, nigga.
Yeah.
Baby Reek.
Worry Wart. Lil Reek. who else? What else they got going on? What else are we missing? Talked about Kane. Drew should be dead, in my opinion. Davis is out there wilding.
Yeah. That's all of them.
Fucking Ely. Ely.
How long is mid-season break supposed to be?
I think they're coming back in like September.
That's trash.
Like that.
Oh, they take the whole summer off.
That's kind of crazy.
Guess niggas don't watch TV in the summer.
Live life. Trying to reap the benefits of being on Power. Word. You know what I mean? Niggas gonna be at day parties and shit. let's go to Westeros. Is it still Westeros or the Red Keep?
Red Keep is in King's Landing. Westeros is the Seven Kingdoms. Oh, okay. So, yeah, we in Westeros.
Okay. So, you be knowing more about this shit.
Not these people, man. This little family, man.
I'm gonna be honest with you, man. But before you go all the way, I just gotta say this because I know you said this about your daughter with the classism. You absolutely corrupted me with this fucking House of Dragon shit, man. Now I can't even look at nobody black on the show without like just a certain expectation that they're gonna be on some bullshit. Yeah,
dead man walking.
It is kind of consistent. Yeah, but all right, so let's talk about it. Go ahead.
We got Corlys, the sea snake, the heel gimp. They done sunk the you know. What's his nigga name? Damon's daughter, the black one. He be sunning her and shit. You know what I'm saying? She be like, fa-fa. He just keep on walking. Fuck you, child. Like, nobody will do this to the white characters, man. This shit is crazy. You know what I'm saying? Then they just send her off to babysit the kids and shit. Yeah.
Ain't that crazy? I saw that. One. She ain't like that.
No, I ain't like that.
Yeah, she ain't like that. Nah, I didn't like it either.
Now we the babysitters of the Westeros and shit? Fuck out of here.
Yeah, I'm just looking at all of the black characters getting shitted on a little bit.
The thing about it, it ain't really nobody to root for in this storyline. You know what I'm saying?
Not really.
Because it's her and then her brother or whatever, whoever the fuck. Be like, man, come on, man. It don't matter which one of y'all win. Y'all had the same daddy, man. Fuck. Y'all don't. Right. We don't know what neither one of y'all stand for. We don't know what y'all subjects believe in. Y'all, we ain't even seen y'all subjects like that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, nepo babies.
It's like we don't get enough background on these people to actually have a care about how it goes. You know what I'm saying? You're just watching it at this point because you find yourself rooting for the Patch Eye Kid, but then you know what I'm saying? You be rooting for them. You be like, man, just get on to some actions, man. God damn, where the dragons at? You know what I'm saying? Shit, I thought this was the house of the dragons, nigga. I ain't seen no dragons do shit but land. Tearing shit up. I don't even know how these castles still hold up. Every time the dragon land, they knock down 5-6 bricks. You know what I'm saying? Shit.
Shit. I don't really have much. And I said this since last season. I don't really have allegiance to any of the characters. Or I'm not rooting for nobody to that point. I will say, though, in this past episode, I do like Allison and Rhaenyra's when they on screen together. They have a good little chemistry, even, you know what I mean? Even though, because they used to be homies.
No, I get it.
They used to be best friends. And, you know, she fucked her pops.
Yeah.
and used that as the ladder. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So there's reason for some beef. Yeah. But, like, I like how she kind of snuck into the, which seems, it seemed real easy to sneak into this castle.
It was some
old
Power Universe shit. All right, we're going to go to King's Landing. Yeah. Poof.
In the middle of the war, everybody, yeah, she just smoothed in there with a little, yeah. We're
going to have this fucking argument in the middle of the church with no fucking sound barriers, right. You know what I'm saying, and everything. Let's get the fuck out of here.
Right. Oh, shit. Yeah, that was
crazy. Supposed to meet outside on, you know what I'm saying, on the other side of the wall or some shit. You're going to just walk up in that motherfucker. With one fucking bodyguard, Laris. I guess, that had to stay outside the church.
Right. Yeah, that was crazy, man. That don't make no damn sense. Then I don't fuck with old Shady Laris with the club foot. I be thinking he gonna do the Kaiser Sose at some point of the shit. Mm-hmm. But, you know, because it's the G that he hitting them with, the little finesse be so elementary, but my man, the king, is such a clown that he fall for all of the bait. He's so easily manipulated. Mm-hmm. I got a question. I guess it's a simple Google. I'm curious if, you know, when Sir Eric and his brother, mm-hmm. are they played by the same guy, or are those actually identical twins?
No, I have no idea, man.
I'm curious about some CGI.
They brought that shit up like niggas was supposed to care about them.
That's a Salim character.
I mean,
it's
like, nigga, I ain't even seen these niggas, man. You know what I'm saying? Together, it wasn't like the Mountain and his brother, where you seen them in different scenes and you could see where they was at, like one over here, one over there. I don't know about these niggas, man. They get
damn,
enough.
Dog, there ain't no hope.
They get enough fighting. They got on the same uniform, nigga. You be like, man, who win it, man? Who just won?
Fast forward through this. Yo, I told you, all these motherfuckers start looking the same.
You know what I'm saying? They all blonde. They all, like, man, God damn.
Yeah.
It's like, you know what I'm saying? It's like, remember when we were saying, what show that was? Oh, and Snowfall. They start adding all these different characters and shit. It's like they just putting these people in here just to give out some work, man. Because it'd be like, I don't know where these people come from, man. I'm not invested in them. Right. Y'all not getting me invested in them because you just keep showing the queen, her brother, they kids. That's all you see. See on the thrones.
Yeah.
You got to see all the people from the Whisperers on up. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like now you only catch them at the table. Yeah, now and again. Like Varys with the foot. I don't even know what his job is. He just be round.
He trying to be what my man was. What's my man, Chaos? It's a ladder.
Oh yeah.
No.
Oh, you talking about your boy. Littlefinger.
Exactly. Littlefinger. You trying to be a young.
But Littlefinger owned the brothel though.
Yeah, but see, this is like the Fusion Line Game of Thrones. You know what I'm saying? You can tell they ain't got the budget. They trying. They got the aspiration, but their budget is cut.
This is
Game
different.
Of Thrones sport. Yeah, this is, you know what I mean? So, the dragons, they can't have too many dragons working.
Weak.
You know what I mean? Just a few. Yeah, they definitely look real run-of-the-mill. And how are you a run-of-the-mill dragon? A dragon is how, yeah, exactly.
How,
but the dragons do look real low budget.
Drago, 400 years later, look bigger and badder than the dragons from the dragon era.
Yeah,
they don't make no
hilarious sense,
man.
But I got a question, though. This is something that I did have a question on. Not sure. So, the whole thing we're led to believe that you know, Damon sent Ratcatcher and his homie to go kill Allison's baby.
Well, he went to go kill Aegon, right? But then if you
go kill Aegon, but if you can't get Aegon, kill somebody in the line. But now I seem to think, it seems like he didn't kill anybody from the lineage. It looks like homegirl, what's her name, Rhaena, the babysitter, I think she sacrificed her own baby.
What?
And leading people to believe that that was one of Allison's kids. Am I bugging?
Oh, I didn't catch that.
Because this is the reason I thought that. For two, there's a couple scenes. One, when they're like, yo, we need to go ahead and have a funeral procession throughout the Red Keep, throughout the city. Mm-hmm. Let the people grieve with us so we could win some sympathy, mm-hmm. you know, against Rhaenyra's or whatever. Let them know that we're all affected. You know what I mean? Let them see us be somewhat human or whatever. Mm-hmm. Right. And Allison, she's stoic. Allison been stoic or whatever. But then the Rhaena, who I guess was the babysitter, she was taking that shit bad. Mm-hmm. You know, like, really taking it bad and, like, feeling away and, like, really ain't want to do it. But Allison's like, we got to be strong, this, that, and the other thing. That's one. Then,
wait, nah.
She was like, go ahead.
But it ain't, Allison is the lady that's cool with Rhaenyra, right?
She cool with Rhaenyra. Yeah, but she's those ain't her queen. Babies. Whose babies
are those? The lady who you keep calling the babysitter. Wait.
That's her baby?
Yeah, Allison's like the grandmama.
Who was she?
Allison was married to the daddy.
Allison was married to the daddy, but then the king is her brother.
The king is is Rhaenyra's brother.
Is Rhaenyra's brother.
So those ain't her kids. That's, she like the grandmama. She's just young.
So Rhaena is Daemon's wife?
Now. But that's her uncle.
Okay.
Huh? The incest is Targaryens, nigga.
Okay, but then, okay, because the other thing is, okay, so those are her kids.
Yeah, those are her kids.
Those are her kids. So then, why does she say, I forgive you?
Because she was fucking the King's Guard.
Homies.
When they came in, he was supposed to be on duty.
Got it. But she don't seem like, she ain't got no position.
She the queen. She the queen. Who? Allison? Allison.
Then how's Allison?
She like the queen regent or whatever they call her. Now she out the way because.
Who? Because Allison is still alive.
Allison is out the way. She had the mercy of
this. I thought Allison was still a queen.
Yeah, she is, but she had the mercy of the king and his wife. She not.
She don't seem to have no real. Right. She ain't got no. She look like she worked for Allison.
No. She just young. She young. Allison just got you know what I'm saying, more rank as far as knowing what to do. And then her daddy there, you know what I'm saying? Well, her daddy was there. You know what I'm saying? So she playing her position. Remember when the king on the thrones got killed and then Joffrey took over and shit? And then, you know, he ain't had no wife yet, but Cersei was like the queen regent, the regent queen or whatever, because her husband had died. Now, when Joffrey was to get married to either Sansa or old girl from the Tullys, then she would have been out the way. That's why she ain't want that shit to happen.
Mm.
Yes.
Okay. I kind of
So Allison kind of out the way, but you know what I'm saying? Through the mercy of everybody, it's fresh. She still got a little position in the court. And you know what I'm saying?
She sit at the meeting.
Yeah, but she
sit at the meeting.
You know what I'm saying? But she at danger because she out here fucking the King's Guard, nigga.
Right. And he look like he about to be done with her.
Yeah, he about to be done with life, nigga. You keep fucking around.
he wild because I think
little black girl almost got him with the dragon.
Gwen,
well, you know they weren't gonna let her win.
She was out. Nah, she couldn't have got that. That'd have been dope. But she was trying to, but it wasn't going. But then she hanging out with a G Wayne or Gwayne ass motherfucker. Yo, this G Wayne, my little brother from afar. He about to hang with y'all. I'm like, yeah, G Wayne about to get your ass up out of here. We'll see what happens. But yeah. Alright, look, man. I'm watching it. You know what I mean? Let us know what you think about these recaps, because I'm not invested like that. Like, I could care less about these people, but, you know, we here. Let us know what you think. What's keeping you involved? What are we not paying attention to? Do you have any predictions? All of that. Let us know, man. Are you what you feel about House of Dragons this season? What do you feel about Ghost?
But for real, we can't discount how people feel about the shit. You know what I'm saying? Because it might be people who are interested in people who read the books and really know what's going on. I can't just say, you know what I'm saying, this shit is some bullshit.
I'm not discounting how they feel. I'm just telling you how I feel.
I just don't like how they do
everybody
the black
feelings
people.
Everybody feelings is
valid. And the story feels just one-dimensional, you know what I'm saying, as opposed to the other one that had
like
a lot of dimensions.
Yeah, I feel like they ain't got the same budget. That's the dimension. This that budget was 4D. This budget,
that budget got dementia.
Basically, yeah, for sure. So, but yeah, man, we tuned in. What do y'all think is gonna happen? What's some of your predictions? Let us know. You got anything else you want to say before?
Nah, that's it, man.
Okay, bat. I want to say peace to everybody that came out to Grantville. Peace to everybody that came out to Poughkeepsie. We had a good time at both situations. We got Seattle next up until something maybe pop up between now and then. But Seattle, August 30th through the 31st, comedy/bar tickets are still available. Let's sell that shit out. I'm looking forward to going to Seattle. It's been a minute. I have a good time out there. It's fun. What else, man? Shit, man. Shout out to, man. Yeah, man. Shout out to Brendan Moore for holding it down last week, man. That was a good conversation. And, shit. Till next week, tell a friend to tell
a
friend.
An enemy.
To get in the conversation. We out.